Hey, Checkpoint XP on campus here once again. It's your host, Norris Howard, joined alongside my fellow knucklehead. That is Jacob Brothers. What's going on, my guy?
Doing pretty good. How we doing?
We're doing well, and we're joined by a very special guest coming from Play Versus, one of the coolest and newest organizations out. Their focus originally was on high school esports, but now they have branched further out into collegiate esports, and we have Zach Snader from Play Versus here. He's going to talk to us a little bit about their plans for the college space with Fortnite. So, Zach, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Really happy to be alongside these fellow knuckleheads.
That's right. And so, you know, the first thing I want to ask, if for those who don't know, give us a little background on Play Versus, because it was it's a company that's kind of been at the forefront of people's minds when talking about sort of these new esports startups and how people are organizing tournaments. So give us a little background information on Play Versus.
Yeah, certainly. So Play Versus started a little over 2 years ago, and as you mentioned, we started out in the high school space. We have a partnership with the NFHS that gives us a lot of leeway to expand to reach every high school in the United States. And we've been growing out our state partnerships on a weekly basis. And yeah, so as we've been scaling out high school, we've been thinking about how we can connect that component of the academic space of the academic esports world. College was a natural progression in that discovery. So we launched our first season of collegiate this past spring. We were the official collegiate league for Fortnite. We're expanding to more titles in the fall. And yeah, that's the very high level summary.
Awesome. And so, you know, talking about the Fortnite season, if you will, you know, how does that format work? Because Jacob and I on this show, we lament constantly about how hard it is to follow collegiate esports sometimes, because, you know, the scheduling is all over the place.
Scheduling, scoring, airing.
Yeah, it's everything. So how does this work?
That's a great question. I love the emphasis on that, Norris. So we ran a national league for Fortnite this past season. And we plan on doing that again for Fortnite. The reason being that Battle Royales are just a completely different beast when it comes to scheduling and team inclusion and the way that the competition is actually run. Running something with six players is way different than running it with 100, right? So the way that our system worked, we had a very tight integration with Epic, given our very close relationship with them. Every player and every team that was playing in a given week, they queued up as if it were a regular arena match, and they would get thrown into the match when the queue popped. So yeah, we had 100 players in every game, and we had a couple of games running every single week. And we had a competition window open, so the players would compete in as many matches as they could over a two-hour window. And we ran duos last season, which obviously doesn't work for this coming season. We're still figuring out if we are going to run duos again or what the format might be. Because FNCS is going to be solos and trios, and there's no duos arena mode. So, yeah, still figuring that out.
Yeah, one thing that caught my attention, because I was reading through like the game day protocol, which was a really interesting document actually. But I saw that the competitors play like at the school with like someone watching them on the school computers. Do you think that's like combated like cheating, because cheating has been a problem in Fortnite for a while? Do you think that's like combated that entirely, or do you guys ever still worry about that?
So I think we need to update the game day protocol for the fall 2020 season, because that information is actually out of date. We did have that restriction in place when the season started. Partly it was a carryover from our high school regulations. Obviously this was our first season running a collegiate league. We lifted that pretty quickly, even before the impact of COVID started, because a lot of players were saying that they couldn't compete from campus, either due to travel restrictions or their work schedules outside of school. or socioeconomic reasons as well. And to be able to, we wanted to make sure that everyone was able to play accessible for us.
Yeah.
And that does make it difficult to, you know, cut down on things like cheating. And we did run into some instances of that, but we're very lucky, A, to have a community that's supportive in reporting player issues. We also have a lot of players that do their best to uphold the integrity of the league. And I like to think that most collegiate players, given how tight-knit their communities are, they tend to be, I'd say, more considerate of their fellow player.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, because when I was reading your guys' website, the integration stuff seemed actually kind of intense in a good way. And it was like, oh, we get to track X, Y, and Z and all of this stuff. So could you talk about like how deeply integrated you guys are, like as far as statistics go? Because it seems like you guys track some pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, I mean, on the high school side, we track everything that the APIs allow us to pull. Given the longstanding relationships that we have with publishers and just our approach to building out publisher relationships, we don't do anything as a one-off. Everything that we support is a long-term commitment, and our publishers are bought in the same way. And that's why our leagues are as successful as they are. I mean, the data points on the Fortnite ends, we can. A lot of what we display is the average time in a match, for example, placement in a match, victory royales, eliminations, placements, anything that you'd want out of a competitive Fortnite tournament, we provide that for our Fortnite league.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, as reporters, as folks who want to bring more information for this, we mm-hmm. really enjoy that kind of stuff, because for the average viewer, to the layman, sometimes it can be really difficult to decide what makes one player better than another player. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to esports, statistics is incredibly important in learning to differentiate those sort of factors. But right now we're talking to Zach Snyder from Play Versus. Again, they are an organization that helps run that runs tournaments for the high school and the collegiate space. And I want to ask a very straightforward question to you, Zach. How many schools are we talking about involved? And if you can, which schools are involved at the college level? Because, you know, some listeners and watchers out there may have a team at their alma mater.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. For the spring season, we had over 120 schools that were signed up. I'm comfortable saying this because Fortnite Tracker very publicly lists how many players that we had each week. You know, with COVID, it was very challenging to make sure that everyone was able to complete the league season. We ended up with about, I think, 300 or so players competing on a weekly basis. And we had schools, man, we had everything from Power Five schools. We had University of Alabama, Arizona State University, Illinois Tech, University of Central Florida, Florida State. And we had community colleges as well. Chandler Gilbert over in Arizona, they were one of our best competitors. And our champion for the National Collegiate Fortnite Championship, they were from Kirtland Community College in Michigan. So yeah, it's a nursing community college, and there were two students from that program. I've been talking to the AD, like, they're not even ready to formally support esports yet, but they still had a team that signed up. And yeah, I mean, we're like, we want to amplify those voices and show everyone that, look, esports is not limited to a program that's able to pump a ton of money into their program. Just because you can't get a scholarship doesn't mean that you can't compete, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there in the college space like that. So we just want to make sure they can play.
Yeah. And you know, very briefly, and we're going to let you go, Zach, you know, when do you guys anticipate that the fall 2020 season is going to begin? And where can we watch? That's the main thing. Where mm-hmm. can folks watch this stuff?
So before I throw out some self promo, I do want to say that storytelling is really big for us. We did our best given the, you know, that it was the first season, the resources that we had available, We nights every week, and we produced an incredible championship event with Practice Productions, who are like the foremost producers of Fortnite events. And we really want to have a bigger emphasis on storytelling. So we are going to be hosting things on our own Twitch channel, twitch.tv/playversus. But you can expect a lot more content coming from us that is going to really highlight some of these programs, from individual players and teams to coaches and what programs are doing as well. And we have teams from every makeup, you know, small community colleges, HBCUs, bigger Power Five schools. So we'll be able to weave a lot of these storytelling elements in, and we're doing everything we can to create a platform where other colleges can broadcast their own content, and that's something that we can amplify as well. So yeah, that's our home is twitch.tv/playversus, but you know, we're gonna see how we elevate everyone else that's yeah. creating content as well.
And when can we, you know, tentatively hope to see play begin for the Fortnite tournament, the Fortnite season?
Right. You did ask that, and I totally ignored the question. So we're looking to throw some events later this summer leading up to the season. We're going to begin the season in earnest in mid to late September, and we'll have a preseason leading up to that as well. That will include Fortnite, and it's going to include some other titles that we have on the horizon. So, awesome. Yeah, if you're interested, you can go to PlayVS. Well, it's PlayVersus, but playvs.com/college, and you can get your info there.
Well, thank you so much, Zach Snader. And if somebody wants to follow you specifically, where can they find you?
I am at DreamSloth, DreamSloth. At DreamSloth on Twitter. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate that. And you can also hit me up on Discord. That's harder to say aloud because you have to do capitalization and stuff. You guys can throw it in the show notes or whatever. That works for me too.
You got it. Zach, thank you so much for joining us on Checkpoint XP on campus, man. And we wish you all the best in the upcoming season.
Step into this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Joining on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and former editorial director of digital content at Marvel, Ben Morris, team up to defeat the evils of bad comic book opinions. They're joined by guests like Kelly Thompson and the creators of the 90s X-Men cartoon. Discover a whole new lair to the world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. Download at checkpointxp.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint XP on campus. So if you want to hear about the cool conversations that nerds have about everything besides video games, make sure you join us. That's Checkpoint AFK on Google Podcasts, BPod Studios, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Checkpoint XP on campus is back once more. Norris Howard here alongside Jacob Brothers and Northern Illinois University. It's one of the few schools offering a minor in esports. That's right. You can go out and get your MBA with a minor in esports. You could be that guy. And we talk a lot on this show and many other Checkpoint shows about how other countries, specifically in Europe, are taking more of the esports management approach mm-hmm. to collegiate esports, while North America is taking more of a performative and or a competitive aspect. But this is one of the first times. Yeah, this is one of the first times where we've seen a strange blend of both. Jacob, you've done a lot of digging on this. Yeah. Give us a little brief overview of this Northern Illinois University esports minor degree program.
Yeah, because when I first heard about this, I was like, that's not really necessary. Like, I can't get a minor in basketball. Why would I need a minor in esports kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I started reading it, and it's like introduction to the esports industry, and like strategies and issues in the esports industry. I'm like, oh, word. And then this is where I get super into it. They have, here are their electives. They have esports general gaming, esports real-time strategy gaming, esports sports gaming, and esports online battle gaming. So I guess you're hopping from like StarCraft to 2K to Overwatch. Like I don't know, but like sick. And then they kind of get into, they have like a promotion and marketing of sports programs, sports event and facility management, psychological aspects of sports and exercise, business ethics. So I think the business part of it makes this minor worth getting. Because I think if it were only just those, here's how you play an RTS, I don't think that would be worth a minor for.
Right.
But when you're prepared to either be a player or go straight into, like, they even have, like, 3D animation and video art. Like, you can be the graphics designer for an esports team. And so I think it's cool that this minor is preparing people for just that jobscape, be it the player or the support or the manager, whatever.
And I think this is really interesting because, you know, we talk about esports in this vast web mm-hmm. of career opportunities that it provides. I mean, neither one of us on this show are good enough to pick up the sticks with anybody, even semi-pro in just about any video game. Let's just be honest. But we could probably talk about it quite a bit. I would say we could talk about it.
We could judge them. You know, we could be like, I wouldn't have done that forward throw, but whatever.
Listen, those who can't do teach and those who can't teach analyze, that's us. We're the last bit of the totem pole. But the point is that seeing this curriculum, which you've outlined some of the classes, is akin to, like, you know, someone going into sports medicine. You know, you talk about sort of the different branches of a medical degree, and you go into sports medicine where you're specifically talking about kinesiology and, and muscle development and all this other stuff that's very specific to dealing with an athlete's body. Yeah. And so I love to see this kind of stuff because I think that esports, if it is going to continue to grow as an industry, you got to begin to have more defined career roles, more defined career paths. Your social media manager shouldn't also be your director of marketing, who also shouldn't be your...
Right. A lot of people have a lot of different roles at the same time. Well, because like this program also has like internships and student workers, which is like exactly what you're talking about. Like there should, like, if this industry is going to keep on growing, then students should have internships and students should be slotted in to be like, okay, here's how you do social media for an esport team. Here's how, I don't know, because they also said that they're going to do like shoutcasting stuff. I don't really think that's as necessary, but like coaching and support jobs. Students should absolutely be an intern under a coach to see how do you coach an esports team. Like, I think that's probably one of the more exciting parts about
it. But you know what? I'll push back on the casting thing because while I do think that it is mostly a talent, and you have to just know how to do it.
I mean, Tony Romo just got the biggest deal. He just threw the football. If we're going to be honest.
No, I mean, you're right. But at the same time, I don't want any more Joe Bucks. I'm done. I don't want any more Joe Bucks in this world, okay? So if somebody can get, if there could be a class to teach you, it shouldn't be called shoutcasting. It's to be how not to be Joe Buck, right? That would be amazing to
like,
me.
Like, here's when you raise your voice. Here's when you're calm. This is called a frag. Like, I don't understand what that class would look like.
Well, it would be about delivery. It would be about cadence. It would be about, you know, developing a style, because the way that somebody like Uber casts is completely different to the way somebody like Rip or Tasty Steve casts, you know, or even within the same esport, you know, Mr. X or Achilles cast in a very different way than, you know, say a Jake or whatever. So it's a way to begin to sort of pinpoint the type of person and the type of techniques, vocal techniques that you could use to be an effective caster. And you have in your mass communication degree speech classes that teach you how to properly speak.
I mean, I've heard that.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, but I'm saying, no, I got you. Choose. I'm you got it. Stop, yeah. giving me crap.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I feel like sometimes esports can just be a little too, I don't know, self-aware almost, if that makes sense. Like, it's like sometimes you don't have to hyper focus on every single aspect of esports. Like, I mean, business side, absolutely you should. There should be jobs for every position.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, shoutcasting is just the one I just see where it's like, I understand why a class would be good, but at the same time, some people are just good at it. And some people just get it.
Every other industry on earth does this. Every other industry on earth is specified. You have lawyers, you have paralegals, then you have lawyers that specialize in defense. You have prosecutors, you have people who specifically focus on auto injuries. You got people who focus on slip and fall. Everything is specialized. Esports should be no different, and that's where we're ending the segment. I want to hear no lip from you. That's it.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Robbie from Checkpoint XP.
And I'm Jake from the Overwatch League casting team. And together, we're your hosts of the Owl's Nest.
With the Overwatch League up and running again, we'll be bringing you all the latest from the league and within Overwatch.
But it's important that we all do our part to flatten the curve by staying home during the COVID-19 outbreak.
So stay home.
Stay healthy.
And we'll see you every Friday night on the Owl's Nest before the Overwatch League weekend.
Check it out at the Checkpoint XP YouTube channel or at checkpointxp.com.
Hey, what's up? It's James.
And Robbie.
Hey, and it's Weird Beard. And we're bringing you a brand new radio show called Checkpoint XP.
You don't have to be an expert, even though I am, and we're here to give you everything you need to know about the world of video games.
Interviews from the biggest professionals and your everyday gamers, we've got you covered at Checkpoint XP.
Whether you're a professional player or somebody who hasn't played in a while, we have something for everybody.
Hang out with us at Checkpoint XP every single week on your radio.
Find out where we're playing in your hometown at our website, checkpointxp.com.
So if you're looking to have some fun and talk about video games,
we got the rundowns for things that matter to you.
Checkpoint XP.
Your home for esports and gaming.
Got it that time.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Checkpoint XP on campus is back one more time. Norris and Jacob are with you. And, you know, very briefly, I just want to say that, you know, we're thinking about all the folks out there who used to stream on Mixer, because Mixer is like gone now. They had the rug pulled out from under them. It was a really, really kind of gummy way to go about it. There's kind of no other way to say it. But we want to talk more about that at a later date and time when not only more information comes out, but maybe we could get some folks to come in and talk about it. But speaking of things that are being canceled, University of Nevada in Las Vegas, also known as the Rebels, so you should know where this is going, had the statue of their mascot taken down and removed from campus. Now, Jacob Brothers here is a student at UNLV.
Oh boy, is he.
And you know, I don't want to call him a rebel, because that is a loaded phrase, but he is a student at the school. So I asked him, if you had to pick a new mascot for the University of Nevada at Las Vegas, what would it be? So Jacob, what would it be?
Yeah, so not only did I come up with it, but I sent it to, like, the brand, whatever, UNLV, just to make sure eyes got on it of my great idea. And for some clarification, I don't completely think it's the rebel word. I think it's what it was originally, and then it was still, like, a frontier man, and that's why people are mad. So here, I'll just read you the email word for word of my pitch.
Confederate uniform on. What you talk about?
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, the original guy was, yeah, very bad news.
Yeah, so, come on now.
Here's how we go. Hello, Kate. I have no idea where to send this, so I figured brand content would be a good start. We now know that we need a new mascot. Since humans find ways to be problematic, I think we should go with an animal. Now, what animal has been involved with almost every type of rebel society is seen? A horse. War horses are some of the most intense animals we've seen walk the earth and would look great in designs. War horses also fit thematically with our national warrior-spirited sports teams of the Golden Knights and the Raiders. Though this is just step one. People are also upset over the old mascot because it calls back to older times. This mascot won't have this problem because it is a robotic warhorse from the future. I know. I was pretty impressed when I thought of it myself. The warhorse can feature cannons on the sides, as seen in my drawing. The legs... Okay. The legs sport the exterior mechanics that helps the robot horse move. The tail is made of flexible metal that would help it in battle. I couldn't show this in the drawing, but the horse also features thrusters under its hooves that allow it to fly around like Iron Man. It has he has red eyes with square pupils, so it's a pretty intimidating robot. Last but not least, the name of the beast, Rowdy Rebel. Rowdy harkens back to the rebellious roots of the school that the school has, and we get to keep the rebel part, which I'm sure is important to the school. And it gets and it keeps all the sports names as well, as horses are known for running. Because if you're unfamiliar, it's the Running Rebels, the Running whatever.
Running Rebs, yeah.
Yeah. The clothing designs would be electric, and Rowdy would be so much cooler than UNR's Wolf. Thank you for your time, Jacob Brothers. And for you, Norris, here's the drawing of Rowdy.
That's amazing.
A robotic horse, yeah. And I'm pretty proud of it, you know. I will admit, it was a little inspired by the old Detroit Pistons. When they're like,
yes,
isn't this horse sick?
Era.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, that's sick. And I did get a reply. And basically what she said is that we don't have any information about mascots at the time. It will probably have a committee and it'll probably be community involved. So long, what I read that as, Rowdy the Rebel will come back. And he will be around. And I'm in love with him. And that was my pitch of a mascot.
All right. So if any graphic designers out there want to help Jacob out, in designing Rowdy, the Rebel Iron Warhorse, we would love to see your expertise, guys. Give us all of your fan art of Rowdy, the Rebel Metal Horse, and we want to see it. Let's get some traction on this. Listen, if Checkpoint XP can be responsible for Rowdy becoming the new mascot, with laser cannons, you will be immortalized in history as responsible for actually creating a college mascot.
That would be on my resume,
guys. Sure. We can do this. It is up to you. Let's help Jacob out and leave his legacy at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Rowdy is the future.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.